Hey, hey, this is the Swine Time Podcast, and today I got a very special guest, my very good friend, Nick Novicki.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey. Nick, you might have seen Nick in a lot of TV shows. He's been in Sopranos, Boardwalk Empire.
I mean, I feel honored, you know, to be on the birthday Swineheart Podcast here.
Are we rolling right now?
Doing comedy show.
Okay, we're still rolling.
Kidding me? We've always been rolling.
Oh, we have. Shit, I don't know.
They got you picking your balls in between takes over here.
I always do that.
You got your fancy suit on, and they got your birthday moment of silence over there, checking your son.
Hey, how am I looking?
Swine time.
Hey.
this is cool. I mean, I love this is a milestone day, man.
Yeah.
4 years old today.
I know, man. That's crazy.
It went from you interviewing me to now I'm interviewing you. How's it feel to be 40 and you're doing comedy?
I know.
But you know what, man? It's like, it feels like we've been out here 15, you've been out here 20 years?
Yeah.
20 years.
I moved to Pasadena when I was 20 years old.
Wow.
And I was like trying to figure out what the hell I was going to do with my life.
You've spent double, you know, the first half in Ohio. The second half in L.A.
Yeah. Wow, man.
And Brea is the culmination of the second half of your life.
Yeah, it really is, man.
Isn't that crazy? There's a lot of pressure on the show tonight, man. It better be a good crowd.
I know. I hope there is a good crowd, but I mean...
You know, that's kind of the funny thing about entertainment, though. We put unnecessary pressure on these, like, milestone events. We're like, oh, I've got to do great because it's my birthday tomorrow.
Yeah.
You're like, the crowd doesn't know.
They don't know. That's why I wanted to do it here in Brea, where nobody knows it's my birthday.
Yeah.
Right? Because I don't know. There might be a couple people here that show up that have been to the shows before. But generally speaking, like, if I did it back in L.A., everybody would have known it's my birthday, right? They would have. So it puts an extra pressure on your performance, where I feel like tonight we can still have just a normal show. It just happens to be my birthday.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think we should all put pressure on the crowd. Look, this is Brian's birthday, so, you know.
You better fucking laugh.
Let's at least, you gotta at least, he wore a suit and a tie, all right? It's his birthday and he wore a suit and a tie, so if you don't laugh, there's a lot of things that are not fair.
But now that I'm 40, I feel like I have to wear a suit and tie everywhere I go.
Yeah. I'm wearing a banana shirt today, so I don't know. I'm almost 37 though, so.
I mean, you look good.
Hey,
you look 36 to me.
Ah, man.
But it's crazy. It is crazy to think how fast the time has went, because I can't remember if I first met you at Westwood Brewing Company or if it was at the Comedy Store. But I know that we became very good friends at Westwood Brewing Company.
Westwood Brewing Company, and I used to do Three of Clubs all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
So I was doing Three of Clubs, and I remember sometimes, you know, it's funny because I wouldn't email you or call you a lot, you know, and then you would give me spots.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like there was other people that were way more aggressive, and they'd be hitting up every week.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, so I used to have this club, this comedy show I did at this bar called The Three Clubs, and you know, comics would always message me to get spots. But of course, I mean, I always liked you from the beginning, and you always had a good show, so I put you on. But yeah, a lot of other people would message me about the show. I mean, they're doing their job, but that's, you know. But I always liked it when I didn't have to. I wish that's kind of what made me stop doing the show, was just dealing with all the comics. I got hit up a lot, especially when the show got popular, and I didn't know how to deal with it. Not, but looking back now, I would have done some things differently on as far as that, you know. But, you know, what can you do? You live and learn, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, that's the thing. That's the one thing that I think is constant in anything in showbiz, is that the longer you've been doing this, the more you're like, who cares about that? You know, we put so much pressure on these moments. We're like, man, this is... I gotta get this one thing, or, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. And then, like, 10 years later, you're like, who even cares about that one thing?
I know, it doesn't matter. But unless that one thing would have been a game changer.
Yeah.
There are some things...
Believe me, you've heard me complain about them for...
Yeah. And there's also...
Yeah.
And there's we're good for now.
I'm okay for now, yeah.
Maybe
a little bit.
It'll be good about 20 minutes, though.
Thank you.
Thanks. So one thing that about the gigs is that you say you think back, but dude, I got a plethora of girls that I wish I would have done things different with. That's gonna be on my deathbed. I'm gonna think about all the ones I didn't get, and it's just gonna be crushing me.
Well, you know what, for any of your fans, you can just look on your Instagram, because you throw that all out there on Instagram pretty much. So if any of you guys are really interested in some of these ones that got away from Brian, just scroll down. Because if you go 6 months into his past, you can find about five or six of them.
Yeah, well, that's why, you know what I did, dude? I had to start taking pictures down because they were too much for me, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But, so yeah, dude.
So we've been friends for a long time. We've been doing comedy for a long time. We've done comedy in multiple states now.
Yeah.
In multiple places. It's kind of crazy that it's like just all these different shows, traveled together, we wrote a movie together.
Yeah, it still needs to get made.
Yeah, I know.
One of these days.
That's how this is, you know, you keep going, keep spinning plates, you know, and then eventually you...
And it's crazy too, so a lot of you guys a lot of people that watch or probably seen my podcast probably seen the Scooby movies.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're not talking about Scooby Doo. We're talking about Dennis Willoughby, aka Scooby from my hometown.
Scooby.
And Nick is he created. Now this is pretty. You created the Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge, but when you created it, wasn't even with Easter Seals. It was just by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that first year, there was what, maybe 12 films.
I think seven. You had one of them.
Seven, and I had one of them. And
man, that was a good film too.
Yeah,
a film called Wheels.
Yeah, Wheels, a short film about my buddy Wheels, and we had him play the part of a baseball coach who was an alcoholic. So we took some of his real life drinking experience and put him into that spot, which I still would love to make that story into something more.
Mm-hmm. It was a great story, and Wheels gave a really great performance. He was a good actor, but you know, it's kind of crazy. I think you've entered every year.
I had to miss
one year. You missed 1 year.
And I'm doing it again this year with Scoob. I mean, as long as everything lines up and the dates are all right.
So talk about that, though. What happened, you know, was it 2 years ago you were talking about, hey, I'm going to enter the Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge, but this year I want to do it in my hometown.
Yeah, man, that was the best thing. That is, you know, I'm looking back on you know, because on, like you said, on these type of times, you think back on your life, it's big. But I look back, and that's one of the best things, because I was in my hometown, and Scooby was going to do a professional wrestling, right? And they brought some, like, guys from the state fair, the local fair in that did wrestling, and had Scooby in the wrestling thing. And I thought, man, Scoob is awesome, because he really represents our little town, you know? And then I said, I made it work with my buddy who had a camera back in Ohio, and we filmed Scooby. And who would have thought that he was such a good actor, because he's not acting, but he's acting. I mean, it's an acting, it's a made up scenario, but he is himself, which is awesome.
He gave one heck of a performance. For those of you guys, I encourage you that if you're listening, go to YouTube, go Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge. Watch the film that I forget the name of last year. Number one fan was last year, and
Jack's
Revenge was this year. But they were great performances both times. Last year's performance, Scooby was actually nominated for Best Actor. He tapped into a moment about his dad passing away, and is kind of crying with acting with you in that scene.
Yeah.
And it was, man, it was a real...
Well, it's funny because, see, when I went to meet with Scoob and his mom and his brother, when I told him about the festival and everything, you know, I'm back in Ohio, and I go to talk to Scoob, and he said to me at the table, he said, "I wish my dad were here to see this." And that was it. I knew when he told me that, I said, okay, I don't know what my story is going to be with Scooby, but if I can have him say that line just like he just did, that is what we need to get. And so then we, because, you know, I kind of like outlined the story that I wanted to happen, right? But I knew with Scoob, you can't really say the lines per se like a regular actor would. I mean, he says it naturally, but he's not going to, like, memorize them. So then when we were at the football stadium...
It's just like us sometimes, too. I mean, yeah. You know, sometimes we're going off, too, a little bit.
And a lot of times it's better that way.
It's better. You get a natural performance.
Exactly, man. And then I told Scoob, I said, Scoob, I want you to say, I wish my dad were here to see this. And meaning that he's talking about the football game. And he said, I wish my dad were here to see this. And then it just, bam.
Yeah.
And he kept going.
He tapped into that moment, you know. Man. He was... Yeah. Tearing up and looking up to the sky, and it was something special, man.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the whole movie really cut together pretty amazing. I gotta say, there was, you know, I mean,
we talked about there were some technical problems. But, you know,
the sound was not 100%. Yeah. And that's part of what happens with these films done on the weekend. But the biggest problem I get is a lot of people who say, oh, you know, I don't have the funds together, I don't have this, and they just don't do it. You know, with this, you're creating something, and then you're finishing it. You have to do it in a weekend, really a week, by the time you're writing, shooting, editing, doing everything. But, I mean, look at what that guy's trajectory was. Scooby was 50 years old. He had never acted. He'd never done anything. You put him in this short film. The whole town rallies behind him. Yeah. He gives an amazing performance. And then you do a Kickstarter, and the whole town flies him out because he's nominated... for best actor, and he's walking the red carpet in Beverly Hills at UTA, one of the biggest talent agencies in the world. He's in Variety. Yeah. He's on KTLA. He's gotten more press than you could have possibly had in 2 days. This guy came out here and said, I'm going to take you 20 years, and I'm gonna beat you to it, swine.
Yeah, yeah,
but I mean, and I, when I say that, that's 99% people. How many people get to, you know, be quoted in Variety for their acting and KTLA and all that stuff. And I think it was a magical thing that you created for him.
I mean, yeah, but, you know, luckily you created the whole festival, right? Because there's a lot of stories like that, right? So it was just, but it's just one of those things where I look at it like synchronicity, right? Because it was just the right timing. And I feel lucky that he said that at the dinner table. About his dad, and I was like, that's his story. Because every person has a story, but what happens is a lot of people, it's harder to find their story, what it is that's really their story, right? Scoob wears his heart on his sleeve, so whatever his story is, you can see it. Where I think that a lot of people in life don't live like that, so they're covered, right? You block what your stories are, you know, you don't show it. Something's bothering you. You're not going to tell somebody at the dinner table, I wish so-and-so. You might be thinking it, but I wish my dad were here to see that, or just that he lets it, you know, live, you know. So, but yeah, so I just was lucky, man. I happened to be home, and I saw that thing at Scoob, and then you had your thing coming up. Because what I wanted to do was build a statue for Scoob in the town. But I said, okay, well, I'm probably not going to accomplish that. You know, or maybe somebody else might.
Man, that would be awesome. Statue.
Yeah, that's what
I put that on the football field. For those of you that don't know, we didn't get into too. One of the reasons why Swine put this movie together was because Dennis Willoughby Scooby, Dennis Willoughby, who goes by the nickname Scooby, who has Down syndrome. I don't know, did we even say he has Down syndrome?
I guess we haven't said he has Down syndrome.
This is probably would have made a lot more sense for while we're talking about some of these different elements. So he really was a local legend for going every Friday night. He was the Friday night lights guy of the town. He's there at the football game every Friday, and he loves the Bucks. That's the name of the small...
Covington Buccaneers.
The Covington Buccaneers, and go Bucks. You know, he loves this football team. And they're, you know, playing high school football every Friday. He's there. He's been there 30 years probably every night.
Oh, yes. He's been there at least, I mean, well...
If he's 50, probably since he was a kid.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking 45 years, his whole life. I mean, since his dad used to work on the field, like cut the grass and do the sideline painting and stuff.
Oh, man.
I think that's what his dad did. You know, he at least was working on the field because everybody knew his dad. So, and it's just like, so that is like opened my mind, right? Because the Hollywood thing, filming in Hollywood, it's just tough, you know, but when I go back home and the beauty of my little town, but had I stayed in Covington and not left, I don't know if I would see it for the beauty it is now. You know what I mean? Because I had to leave.
Yeah, but that's everything. You know, that's you appreciate anything. Things more after, yeah, after the fact. Right. Oh, man, you know, you're doing these little gigs, and sometimes you're like, man, this is all I'm getting paid or whatever.
And then you
look back and you're like, wow, what a great crowd. What a great something. You could always look at those positives about the wait staff, the manager, the crowd, the way you kind of touch people, you know, from doing the military tours. We've both done military tours. How much those meant, you know?
That's another game changer, dude. I mean, it's kind of cool, man, to think back of all the things that are like, that have happened that are real awesome in your life. You know, that things like the Scooby thing and like, cause to me, I mean, dude, that's one thing I want to be known for when it's all done, is that, man, he made this little thing, you know, even a 5-minute short, I don't care, but you know, I'm working on doing a documentary about Scoob next.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And in fact, so I'm going on Thursday to back to Ohio, and I'm going to meet up.
Tomorrow, you going?
Not tomorrow, the day after. So today's Tuesday, but Thursday I'm going. And I'm going to go back to Ohio for a week. And I'm meeting up with Clay, the guy who shot the last Scooby short. And we're going to...
He's good. This guy is a really good director of photography. He lives in Cincinnati, right?
Yeah.
I know Brian's whole life story.
So, yeah, man. It's just that... And it's funny because I look at the things I've done, because I also, you know, with acting and everything, but I'm like, man, my best parts have always been these little short films, these indie things that... Like, you know, you always went to a big time, but I'm like, man, I've still had these nice little things to have worked on.
Ain't things you're proud of. I mean, that's what's crazy is, like, again, our friendship and as being comics, you know, who'd have ever thought? I mean, I started this film challenge 7 years ago. How much it was going to end up taking of my life. And I love it. It's the passion. But I'm flying around the country, really almost the world now.
That's awesome.
You know, and going and just... constantly doing this and talking and what's my next idea, what am I going to do here, and you know, so
with that said, like, how would people, you know, so you found something, how did you come up with the idea, or what made you, you know, kind of, you know, latch onto this, and for, like, let's say that, I don't know if anybody listening to what we're saying is going to be, you know, interested in this, but they find something, it doesn't have to be a film challenge per se, but to find something that you can do for 7 years that you built from scratch, you know?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was stuff I was already doing. You were actually part of projects that I created myself.
That's right.
You were part of pilots, you know, that I created, I wrote, I produced, I starred in, you know, I've directed shorts that you were in. You've actually been in a lot of the things I've created.
A lot. I'm trying not to cuss. A lot.
Yeah, so that's fine. I mean, it's your thing. You can say whatever you want.
I'm just catching myself when I do it.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that's the thing. For me, it was like, I was already doing this, and I, you know, 25% of the population has some form of disability, or in less than 3% of film and TV shows. So originally I was like, year one, I just wanted to do this just because I wanted to do it. I wasn't thinking that this would become something.
Right.
I was like, hey, this is something I'm passionate about. Why don't I try to do it? And I think it would kind of be a cool idea to get some other films out there and having other people with disabilities create their own stuff. So then it just kind of snowballed, kept getting bigger and bigger. And then I partnered with Easter Seals, and that really kind of took it to the next level.
Yeah.
But I would say if anyone wants to do something... One, I wouldn't do it unless you're so passionate that you're like, because it's not, you know, no one's just waiting for you to create something, especially in like the nonprofit, you know, space or something that's like, you got to really want to do it and love doing it. And, you know, you can't be thinking about how do I just create something and, you know,
just to
do something so I have something going on. You know, it's got to be more about that you really care about it and that you're so passionate about it. And that you're like, man, I'm going to figure out how to get it done, whether I have funding or not. And honestly, the first couple of years, I was putting my own money in.
Yeah.
So I was getting sponsors, but I was putting my own cash in and a lot of my own time. And so, you know, things have changed, but it's got to be a passion-oriented thing. As artists, we're always like, with comedy, we're a lot of times, it's like, we're just, it's a passion thing. Out here, I mean, how many times are we getting paid to do stand-up in L.A.? When we are, what, $25?
Yeah, it's
something
crazy.
Like that.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, there's so many guest spots you do in L.A. Now, mind you, my first time doing stand-up, I got paid my second time, fourth time. I started in Philly where it was different. you were working the road right away.
Man, I need to move there.
Yeah, man.
That's where Kevin Hart started, Philly.
Same club.
Wow.
So he, I had
what was that club called?
Of the Laugh House.
The Laugh House.
And so he had already, like, he blew up right away. I mean, he
blew up right away? I heard it took a little while. No, he blew up right away?
He had it? Kind of, but he was in Soul Plane and some other movie within the first, like, couple of years of his comedy.
Oh, wow.
And so he was older than me, so he had a couple of years in Philly, was already in New York by the time I started. I started when I was 19, I think he's 3 years older than me. So he had already been to Montreal, done a movie, gotten a development deal, and all this within that 3 year period.
Wow.
Then just was touring and touring and touring, and you know, that guy works hard.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, he got to.
Yeah. I mean, we all work hard. I mean, he's got a special talent, you know. I mean, part of that.
Yeah.
He's driven, but he's undeniably talented.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome, man. So, and,
man, we got a. Can we talk about, so we got, you know, because in a minute we got to start getting ready for the show.
Yeah, we
got to
get ready. I got to look
at our notes. But we got to look at our notes, and especially now we've got to do longer sets.
I know.
We had a comic bail.
Yeah. Welcome to the business, man.
Welcome to the business. We're all talking about, hey, man. But you know what? This club's far out a little bit, you know?
Yeah, so one of the comics was supposed to come tonight and cancel kind of in the last minute. And
but it happens because it's far. It's you far. Know? I mean, it's the funny thing, too. I think a lot of times when you're still in a city but far enough outside a city, you'll get a lot of people, oh man, I wish I had known sooner. I wish, next time you're going to be a little closer, let me know. They want to post that stuff just to make it seem like, hey, we want to see you, but yet they don't really want to go.
Yeah.
So it's easier to be like, oh, next time you're going to be in Belmont, you know, let me know, you know, or very... You know, like, it could be 5 miles away. Oh, man, you know, if you're going to be in West Hollywood instead of Hollywood, let me know, because I'll come out.
Yeah.
They like to make those kind of little announcements.
All the time.
But here is far. So I kind of understand about him. Maybe he was thinking, hey, I want to get there. And then realistically, it does take 2 hours in rush hour. So maybe if he was like...
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever, man. It's your birthday.
Yeah.
We're going to have a good time.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
You know, it's you know, we get more stage time.
I know, that's good. No, comics never complain about that.
Get more stage time.
Especially in a club like this, man. So, yeah, buddy. So, your birthday's in a couple of days.
My birthday is next Friday.
Yeah, awesome.
So, it's crazy, man. It's getting up there.
We went to we didn't go to Vegas for your birthday. We went for your.
That's a party, but we're not gonna get into all that.
We're not gonna get into that. I was gonna say that one thing about that. I had the most amazing time there because we got everything for free. Like normally, a trip like that, but with Nick, man, he really knows how to talk people into. He really uses his credits to get you into places. I mean, they were letting me into places for free. That they would usually charge a dude like me like $100 or $200 probably.
Yeah.
You know?
We had a great time. I mean, I remember one time we were in like a Vegas pool party and Brian's on a raft and he just kept yelling, "This is epic! This is epic!"
This is epic.
And meanwhile, he's on like an inflatable turtle just rocking back and forth. This is epic!
Well, you know it's going to be epic, our show tonight, man.
Yeah.
Nick, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me. Happy birthday, buddy.
Thanks, man.
It's birthday swine.
Thank you guys for tuning in to the Swine Time Podcast.